Well, good morning, church. How are you today? If you didn't notice, Becky dressed us this morning, Kevin and I. So if you like this shirt and you want to see what it looks like in an old fat short man, or you want to, you're taller and leaner, you get a chance to, like, we're sort of modeling that for you. But hey, thank you for spending some time with us this Sunday. I just got back from Honduras last week. And had an amazing trip and got some really crazy stories that I'd like to share with you, but that'll be for a different day. But as I came back, we went into Thanksgiving, and after having this amazing trip in Honduras, I began to reflect about how many things that I'm thankful for. And I think everybody in this room would probably start out as like, we are thankful that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Amen? Yeah. Right? And I'm just thankful for my wife that's here supporting me again today, sitting there and listening to her husband for the second message of the day. And, of course, my family. And then I began to reflect a little bit deeper. And I just want to tell you that I am so thankful for each and every one of you. I'm thankful for the Revive community, but I'm thankful for the EA Church. And I just want to say thank you. You know, how thankful I am for each and every one of you. But I really want to say is that I am so thankful for Kevin and Becky and their leadership here. Would you give them a big hand? We are so blessed. We are so blessed. So today is the first Sunday in Advent, and for the next 4 weeks, we are going to be preparing our hearts and minds to prepare for the birth of Jesus. Now, if you're older like me, you know, you probably remember a time when Thanksgiving would come, and then the decorations would come, right? But we sort of rush things now. We put things out really, really early. But you would never see decorations in stores or in homes until like right after the Thanksgiving holiday. But today it seems like we're not. We tend to rush the seasons. You know, I was actually in the store back on Labor Day. This is crazy. So I'm in the store on Labor Day. I come into Lowe's. And if you know Lowe's or all the Lowe's, they're all the same. You walk in, and the first thing you see is like sort of the garden department with all the decorations and that. Now, this is true. On Labor Day, I didn't know if it was Christmas or Halloween. So they have got Christmas trees all set up in this area. And Halloween decorations. A full-size Santa is in there, and then Frankenstein behind him going like this, rocking back and forth. Well, I freak out, so I start screaming, "Run, Santa, run!" Well, after a little bit of commotion, I now shop at Home Depot. I love to live in the moment and relish every moment that we have. And I don't know if it's just circumstances in my life or it's just that I'm getting older, but sometimes we tend to rush things and not relish the moment. Today we're going to take a look at Isaiah chapter 7, and just for a little bit of background of what's going on in history here, the Hebrew nation is now split in two, and the northern kingdom is Israel. That is made up of 10 tribes. And the southern kingdom is Judah, and it's much, much smaller. It is made up of 2 tribes. And the relationship between Judah and Israel has become very hostile. Israel has really turned their back on God, and they are preparing to attack little Judah. But not only are they preparing to attack Judah, there's 2 nations that are surrounding them that are ready to attack. And if you remember back, if you're a little older, into your school days, or maybe you're in school now and you've seen this sort of play out, that bully thing on the playground or in the lunchroom where they take your money, well, that's sort of what we have here. We have a couple bullies picking on a much smaller nation of Judah. Now, I don't know why bullies do that. I don't know why there's always 2 or 3 of them, and they always pick on somebody much smaller, but if you want to know, we could probably ask Becky later, and she could explain what bully's all about. I'm just kidding, Beck. Love you. So, but Judah's terrified, and they have every reason to be terrified. They are completely surrounded. They know that if they're attacked, they will lose their way of life. They will lose their families. They will lose their farms, their livestock. They will lose everything, possibly even their lives. And those that don't die in this attack will probably become slaves. They have every reason to be terrified. Now, Isaiah is the prophet at the time, and he has received a word from God. And he goes to the king, and he gives him this word, this prophecy. And it says in Isaiah chapter 7, "Be calm and do not be afraid." Basically, what God is saying to Judah, "I got this. I know that you're surrounded by your enemies. I know that you're about to be attacked, but I got this. That attack will not happen." Sometimes in life we face dangers. We face trouble all around us. Maybe the loss of a loved one, a lifelong disease, loss of a job, a divorce, a child who is wandering. We all face these challenges in life. Sometimes we have nothing to stand on but our faith in God and our belief in Him. God tells Isaiah, "Tell the king to ask for a sign of the promise I'm making you." Well, the king says, "No, I am not asking for a sign." Now, Scripture tells us that he doesn't want to test God. But it seems like maybe there's something more going on here, but he doesn't want to test God, so he refuses to ask for a sign. God says, "Okay, I will give you a sign as a down payment, as a promise to my promise." Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will come, will be conceived, and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." Can we just stop there? Let's hold on for a minute. So let me get this straight. A virgin is going to give birth to a baby to save us. No thundering army? No, like, meteors thrown down from heaven to save them? But a baby? Okay, God. But see, there's a clue in the name Emmanuel. See, in Hebrew, Emmanuel is two words put together. Emmanuel, God with us, and El is the common word for God. Put together means God with us. Now, in our culture today, we don't have as many names that have significant meaning as they did back in the ancient culture. Sure, we have, you know, people that are named Joy and Grace, but it's not as common today as it was in the ancient civilizations. I just got back from Honduras, and I met a young man whose given name was Joel. I'm not sure how you say that in Spanish. But he was a member of the 18th Street Gang, which was a notorious gang in Honduras. The name that he took as his gang name was Evil One. But I've also been to Zambia, and I've met people that want their names to reflect their faith in Christ. Patience, beautiful. Abraham means father of many. Moses means drawn from the water, which Pharaoh's daughter actually did. And Jesus means a rescuer. The child will be born as a reminder to those people of that God is with them. And that is a reminder for us today that God is with us. The God who created everything is with us, Emmanuel. Have you ever felt under attack? Like Judah does, from all sides? We are under attack every day. Though we may not be threatened physically, but there is an enemy that wants to destroy us, and he is prowling around like a lion. He is not a lion, but he prowls like one. The enemy is sin. Scripture tells us that each and every one of us have fallen short, that we've all sinned. And if you just take time as I'm speaking just to reflect, I'm sure you can come up with something, because I can come up with a laundry list of things. It may be something like selfishness. It may be pride. Or it may be manifest itself in something much larger. Or what about this one? The sin of omission. God tugging on you with his Holy Spirit, and you ignore what he's asked you to do. Every one of us is in trouble. But God sees us. And that sin separates us, but he's got a plan. Emmanuel, God is with us. Not the EEA police, not the Army, not the Navy SEALs, not the government. Emmanuel, God is with us. So God's answer to saving us is a baby. That's a head scratcher. So no Navy SEALs, no police, no government, but a baby. I'm like, really, God? A baby? Now, I'm the father of two, grandfather of seven. I've changed a lot of diapers. I know the mess that a baby can make. And they can be messy. Earlier, my grandchildren were here, and they were all mortified over there that I said that. But this isn't just any child. This is God's child. Born of a virgin, fully God, fully man. Conceived of God's Holy Spirit. A mystery it's really hard to fully understand it. But from before the birth of Jesus, God's plan was in place. His mission was clear. Let me explain. Joseph, Mary's husband, was about ready to divorce her when an angel of the Lord appears to him and says this in Matthew 1, verses 20 to 21. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth soon, and you are to give him the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves, because he will save the people from his sins. See, the whole entire purpose of Jesus coming here was to save us from our sins when we could not save ourselves. And then if we continue on in Matthew 1, verses 22 to 23, it says this: this all took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, referring to Isaiah, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. Isaiah was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. God's rescue plan was put in place long before Christ's birth. Our plan would have been sending the army. Our plan would have been sending the Navy SEALs, the government, or even worse, maybe take matters into our own plan. But God's plan, sending the kid. I visualize this, as it gets into the weirdness of my mind, is like I see God sitting on his throne with Jesus sitting next to him, and like a relief pitcher coming in saying, send him in. So he sends in Jesus. Jesus grew in favor with both God and man. He grew up as the oldest child in an average family. He did the same thing that other children did at his age. He made a living as a carpenter, and at the age of 30, he became a traveling rabbi, moving from town to town. This child, now man, cast out demons, He healed the sick, and he raised the dead. He gave us an understanding of the Father that only he had experienced before. He revealed to us the love of the Father. Everything that was true about God was true about Jesus. Listen to how the writer of Hebrews put it. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. In the past, God spoke through our ancestors, through the prophet, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir to all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. God could have walked away from us in our mess, but he walked towards us. And after 3 years of public ministry, he allowed himself to be crucified on a Roman cross as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Listen to how one of his best friends, John, put it in 1 John 4, verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The birth of Jesus is a sign. Emmanuel, God is with us. Even though we sin, Emmanuel, God is with us. In our illness, Emmanuel, God is with us. In our loneliness, Emmanuel, God is with us. In our despair, Emmanuel, God is with us. As I mentioned earlier, I just came back from Honduras last week, and I had heard a quote that I thought, wow, this is really good. Expectations are where miracles can begin. This Advent season, let's be expectant. Emmanuel, God is with you. Let me pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for opportunities to share your word. I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. I thank you that you sent him to save us when we could not save ourselves. Lord, you are so, so good. I pray, Father, that this holiday season, this Advent season, as we prepare our hearts and minds for the birth of our Son, your Son, that we would be expectant. We would expect miracles, and we just would live in the moment. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.